Okay, welcome. Come on in and find a chair.
Okay, sit at a table because we're going to do some activity where you need to be at one of the tables.
Yeah, come on into the tables, if possible. Okay, this is on social media. I hope that's what you were hoping for with Mark and Julie Morgenstern. We're thankful for them. Mark has led us on the team and done a great job in the planning. So I'm just going to turn it over to them. Are you guys going to stand here? We could put it up here.
No, we're going to stand.
Okay, we'll set this here and try to record it.
Perfect. Okay. Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Mark from Bethany Church here in Bloomington, and today we're having a special guest, one of our missionaries, Julie. She serves in ministry in Rochester, Minnesota, and so it's just really a privilege to have her here with us today, and I've got a few questions for her. Hey, can you tell me a little bit about what it's been like living in Rochester? That's something new for you.
You know, it's not very far away from here, you know, where I've grown up and everything. But we've gotten to know the people there, and we're trying to just become like a Rochesterian.
Yep. How's your family been adapting?
They're good. I've got two kids. Maybe you guys don't remember. You know, they're 7 and 8, and they're doing well. Yeah.
Are they involved with the ministry there with you in Rochester?
I don't know. I mean, we're trying to, but things are like a little tough sometimes because, my little Tina, she's a ballerina, and we didn't want to pull her out of dance classes from around here, and so we drive back. It's just an hour and a half, you know, from Rochester. We drive back for her ballerina classes.
Oh, okay.
You know, once a week. And Johnny, he's in a baseball league. You know how many like games that baseball players play, like every week, 2 or 3. And so we're just, you know, my husband and I are just bringing him back because he's on the team here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Have you been able to start some Bible studies there in Rochester?
We've been talking about it. I just have such a great group of ladies that I've really connected with over the years through your church. You know, I just call it our church because you send us. But, you know, I'm still, you know, kind of with them a lot of the time because, you know, they've been kind of my support network for everything. And so I just think I can imitate what I'm doing here, so I'll probably just add it to my schedule.
Okay.
Yeah, there in Rochester.
How have you been able to meet some of your neighbors and start to share the gospel with them?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, a little bit.
You seem a little hesitant in that answer.
Yeah, you know, we just feel like we spend all our time in the car, and so we don't really do a lot of connecting. We hope to get there, but and then the problem with our car is it's constantly breaking down, and so we have a really good repair guy just down the street from here.
Have you tried to meet some repair guy there in Rochester?
Why would I change my repair guy that I trust so much in my, you know, where I grew up?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's been really good to have you here with us this morning.
Yeah.
Just be sure and be praying for Julie and her family and their ministry.
And, you know, I could use some more supporters, so if any of you'd like to support me in my great work in Rochester, that'd be great.
Thanks. All right, so anything making you a little bit uncomfortable there with what's going on? Okay, today we're talking about social media, so we might hopefully make a connection to what we were just talking about. And before we go very far, I want you to think about technology just in general. So let's just put on our thinking caps and think about technology and ministry and technology and the gospel and technology and Christianity. So if I was going to ask you this question, what technologies have most significantly affected missions in the past 2,000 years? Okay, so what comes to your mind when I ask you that question?
Internet.
The printing press.
The airplane.
Yeah.
Transportation in general.
Transportation in general. What about 2,000 years ago? What technology was helping the gospel spread?
Roman roads.
Roman roads. There you go. Okay? And technology of language. That was a shared language. So we're talking about technology, and technology has always had a role in ministry. So here's some of the ones you said. Internet, airplanes. The winner, though, is none of you said the smartphone. Okay? We have had a revolution since about 2013, I think it was, when all of a sudden it was just normal for everybody to have the whole world in their pocket with them all the time, and it's opened up all kinds of opportunities for having our Bibles with us and having people in countries that can't even have Bibles have them with them through this, and it makes it easy for us to connect with each other and all kinds of things. So you put this together, the internet put together with the cell phone or the smartphone has really like just turned things upside down. And one of the things that it's opened up is the whole world of social media. But we all understand that we have some misgivings about social media. So this is the situation that probably comes to your mind, is this kind of picture, family all together around the dinner table, and they're not really engaged with each other because they're all in their own worlds of whatever they're doing. And this is a problem in our world in general, and interestingly, it's a world problem even in our missionaries. And definition just of what we're talking about when we say social media, what are we actually saying? We're saying tools that are used to connect people to each other. Those are the ones we're really interested in talking about today. It's tools that you're generally through the internet, on your phone, that connects you to other people in a social relationship. So that's what we really specifically. So those are things like email, text, WhatsApp, Facebook, Skype, Zoom, all of those kinds of tools that are used for us to connect with each other.
So what we're not talking about, although there are topics that we really do need to talk about sometime, but not during this hour, is the gaming or the Netflix, which Netflix has like gone crazy now, right, with the amount of hours that people can spend on Netflix, or even areas of pornography or security and internet presence. So those are all things people think about when we start talking about this topic. But we're going to just talk about some. Are you going to? So these are the things we're not talking about. Go on to the next slide. Oh, we're not talking about really the balance of life and ministry, although that'll come up in some of your discussions when we break up. But we are. So we're not anti social media use at all, and these are all tools for our ministry. Do you guys recognize all of these? I'm just wondering. Does anybody know what this one is? GroupMe.
That has really risen a lot in the last couple of years.
You added one on here, Mark, that I don't recognize.
Yeah, this is a
really tall. Oh, you just said that. Yeah. What is it?
TikTok.
Do you guys know what that one is?
Sina Weibo, Chinese.
And what is that?
It's the Chinese Twitter.
Yep. Yeah. Oh. So, and say it again, what's the name?
Sina Weibo.
Yeah, I just had Weibo, but I realized. And then, you guys know what this one is?
It's WeChat, also
WeChat. Yeah, this is the most used. This is the most used social media in the world.
Really?
So you feel dumb now, huh?
Uh-huh.
This is WeChat.
Okay, anyone know what this one is?
WhatsApp.
Okay, so how many of you use one of these, at least one? How many of you use two of these? Oh, it went down. We have a few of you use two of them. Okay, so we are not anti-social media, but we want
to... These are ones that are internationally being used a lot outside the U.S.,
right.
And these are being used in amazing ways for ministry.
They're great tools.
They're great.
But let's talk about what we are talking about, and that's living in a new culture. And we use that term to being incarnational. So like we used to talk about, when we did pre-fill training, we always used the verse, I believe it's 2 Thessalonians 2:8, where it says, we didn't come here just to share the gospel with you, but to live our very lives with you because we love you, we adore you, actually depending on what translations, we love you, we adore you. We're not just here to proclaim the gospel. That's important. But we're also here to live our lives among you. And so there's a part of disengaging, which I didn't do going to Rochester. I did not disengage from my car repair, from my women's Bible studies, from my kids' activities that were, yeah, it was just an hour and a half away, but I really could have, right, intentionally said, I'm going to, because I could, I did. And sometimes with social media, because we can, we don't disengage, and we keep our feet in both places a lot. We like to think back, one of our sons' middle name is Hudson, after who do you think?
Hudson Taylor.
And it was because he was just this master of, he came there, they lived all on the coast, right, in China, and amongst all the other missionaries, and he did something really crazy. He moved inland. He did something crazy, moving away from what he knew, familiar, to try to really get to know the people. And so sometimes
their social medium was tea parties on the coast, and he had to break away from the social medium of tea parties on the coast to actually get in there and do some ministry.
And we think about Jesus coming down. He kept a special connection to his Father in prayer, but it was all balanced. He really did live among the people.
Okay, so let's talk about what are some social needs that we have. Okay, so because when people use social media, they use it to meet social needs. So what are some of the social needs that we have that missionaries would have, just in general, as humans?
To connect with others.
To share milestones.
To share milestones, victories, joys, yes.
Affirmation.
Okay. Yes. Don't be shy. Come on.
Discuss thoughts and ideas.
Discuss stuff. Bounce ideas off people. Yeah.
Looking for emotional support.
Emotional support. Yeah. Good. You didn't go into the helping find a place to get your car fixed. We have social needs of physical things to trust each other with and get help with from each other. Okay, can most of these needs be met locally? If a missionary is endeavoring to live in the place, and oftentimes we talk about social, incarnational. Yeah, we talk about a definition of incarnational ministry as being that you meet needs for people and you have your needs met in the place that you live. So you actually live there in a full way of meeting needs but also having your needs met. So can missionaries have their needs met, their social needs met in the local place?
Only to some degree.
To some degree?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you're in a different culture and there's parts of it that go missing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you can only wade in a little at a time to the point of it meeting your needs, maybe.
I think it can depend also how the person's wired, their personality profile. That's what I've seen. People dive in and go play soccer with the guys.
Yeah.
Whether they know the language or not. And some people are in the house. So
yeah. Depends on your personality. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Can missionaries get their social needs met in the local place?
Well, you're going to have social needs of connecting with your family, you know, back here.
Yeah.
So nobody else can meet those.
They can't fulfill that. You might be able to have a substitute adopted family or something, but it's not the same. Yeah. Okay. So we need to think about to what extent can we have those needs met, and if we can, we should. But then sometimes we can't, so we should still connect back to the U.S. Now, the interesting thing about social media is that it's really a two-edged sword, because it makes it possible to still have your needs met and your relationships continue on in with your people back in Bloomington, even though you're living in Rochester. So it's possible, and yet it could be possibly to an extent where it's too much, and I think that's what we just saw. And we I'm honestly seeing missionaries often that are kind of in Indonesia, and they're kind of physically in Indonesia, but they're really 70% in Iowa. And it's just not sustainable. You know, they just don't stay long with that kind of lifestyle, because we're just not made for that, to have our real important relationships be from a really far distance away. So,
in one of our courses that we do online with Grow to Serve is the ministry that Mark and I are in, we have them do a relationship assessment. And the assessment is asking them questions like, who would take you to the airport? Is it a national? Or because we were trying to find out if how much are they settled in to meet some of their material needs as well. Obviously, social media, you can't have your parents in America take you to the airport if you're in Indonesia. But we were trying to assess whether they're even pulling away from the expat community, because you know you can live in that bubble as well. And so they had to answer these questions. You know, if you're going to go to the airport, who's going to take you to the airport? If you have a medical question, who are you going to go to? And just all these kind of questions, just to make them more self-aware. It's a tool, but the biggest tool is a person to be more self-aware of, I meet almost all of my needs by the expat community and not the nationals that I'm ministering to, that I'm spending a lot of time with.
All right, so we have an activity for you. So on your tables, there's some pieces of construction paper. We want you to group into eight groups. So there's eight pieces of construction paper. If you can get into groups of three.
That would be about 26.
26. So get into groups of three or four. Around every piece of paper should have three or four people around it, so you might need to move your chairs a little bit for that. But get around the tables, and then we'll give you the instructions. Okay? Get to your spots.
Okay.
So yours and mine. Maybe you can just turn around and I'll send this one back here.
Well, first, Mark, so let them get in their groups, because maybe. There's a four, there's a three, there's a four, there's a three, there's a four.
You guys are.
No, we are. Somebody come up here.
All right, so here's your instructions. You have a mini story here of nine different people. So you got nine different individuals that are out serving somewhere, living outside of their home environment. They might be in another country, they could be in the United States, in some different culture, but they're living outside of their home culture. You've got a little story of each of them. What we want you to do is one of you take take a pen, and on the left side, write unhealthy.
You can take the post-it notes off.
Take the post-it notes off,
yeah. Take all the post-it notes off.
Take the notes off. On the left side of the paper on the border, write unhealthy. On the right side, write healthy. Okay? Unhealthy on the left side, on the right side, healthy. And what we want you to do is just place these on the paper in order, kind of in a spectrum, from unhealthy to healthy. Okay? Which of these do you think are more unhealthy, less unhealthy, and just put it out as a spectrum from left to right, unhealthy to healthy.
From most healthy or unhealthy to healthy.
Carrie is the one that's doubled up.
He doubled up.
There's two Carries. It really helps her feel connected to people who are
you're focused on their topic for maybe an hour a day.
She's connecting with you in Ohio. Like, I know somebody who's maybe that would be
I
I still see some posted notes in people's hands, so I'm thinking they're still working on it. Another minute or two, and then we'll talk about it together.
Did you just redo the whole thing?
I did.
Alright. Do you need more time?
No.
No. I saw you guys. You were like, bam, 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 we got it. I know. I think the younger you are, you know why? You didn't have to translate all those words. Like, Twitter? What's that? What is that? Instagram? Alright, we want to know who's in the room so we can... We can then put into context your statements about where you think. Mark, are you going to have them folded too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just do that right now before your statements.
You want it?
Yeah.
Okay. So we want to have you take now this.
You want to do it half, right?
No. We talk.
Just some.
Yeah, you just do it.
Pick a spot in your thing where you think it's the too much line.
And fold it.
And fold your paper. Fold your paper at the one too much line. Which ones fall over?
And make the crease
which
enough
ones
that
are
we can
the,
see
in
that.
The okay, and which are over it. It's not in the middle, but
that was
too much.
That's a value judgment.
Yeah.
You have to have hard questions.
I think this is where you go.
Yeah, this is a hard question. You're right.
Would you agree?
No, it's a hard question, too. Okay. No, all the post-its were the same.
Okay.
I would be really surprised if you all put them in the very same spots, but maybe not. So let's find out who's here. Oh,
we have
yeah.
two of the same, so maybe somebody else had two of the same.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, two of the same, meaning though that yours looks exactly like theirs, your placement, is what I was saying.
Yeah.
So we've got students in the room. Just curious, you guys all came back from different ministry assignments. Can you just scream out where you came back from? Starting?
Ghana.
Serbia.
Ghana.
Hungary.
Hungary.
Slovenia.
Hungary.
Okay. Did we miss anybody else? All right. So, do we have missionaries that are serving on the field right now? And where are you serving?
Chad. Kenya.
Okay.
Southern Minnesota.
Rochester, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Other, those that are retired, that have been on the field and are now off the field?
Yeah.
DRC, Kenya, South Sudan, Uganda region.
Okay, okay.
Austria.
Austria?
South America, Central Asia.
Okay.
China.
We're not retired yet. In fact, we're going back to where we used to serve in April, but it would be Ireland and the UK.
Okay. Miss anything?
Mm-hmm. Well, courtesy of the U.S. government, there's Vietnam, Morocco, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, state of Virginia, state of California.
And I love that because wherever we go, we are taking the presence of Christ with us. And so sometimes it's a misnomer when we say missionaries when, you know what, we are taking the Christ with us wherever we go. Missions team members from churches, local churches. Okay. Where? What city?
Eden Prairie, City Hill.
Bethlehem Baptist, Mountview.
Okay. Oh, go ahead.
Cambridge, Minnesota.
New Life in Woodbury.
Maplewood.
First Evangelical Free Maplewood.
Okay.
Trinity Lutheran, Minnehaha Falls.
Okay. Welcome, all of you. Have I missed any categories? Think we got it?
Member care.
Oh, member care? Oh.
Life Impact Ministries.
Okay.
Work with Bethany.
I think we've covered everybody, right?
I just am a sender. I don't know. I just we have an organic group in our community that we just send people overseas, and we've been doing it the past 2 years.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you have a name to that organic group?
Let's see. We're through Grace Church in Eden Prairie in Chaska, and we hold something called Vision School, which helps people capture
vision. Vision School.
And we just send. We've been sending people out on kind of covert missions. Even through COVID, like, we've got people overseas.
Covert missions.
It's really cool. It's awesome.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing.
Okay, so where
talk
did
to me afterwards.
Hold
I have somebody
your line? Hold up your paper so I know we can't see all your, but we're kind of interested to see where your line is.
Look around and see.
Most of you get about half and half, or this group back here has got more on the... Most are over on the healthy side. Okay.
Look at them. All unhealthy. Only three.
Okay.
Four. Three and four. Okay.
How about the farthest one over? What one did you have? Just say the name of the farthest person over that you have.
Unhealthy farthest.
Yeah, over on the unhealthy.
Mandy.
Oh, I'm saying, yeah, over on the
Mandy.
The unhealthy said Mandy.
Rick.
Rick.
Jamie. Rick.
Jamie's on the unhealthy side.
David.
Yep. Okay.
David talks to his mother and father on Zoom every day. He might have some other problems.
Did anybody have David not on the way on the unhealthy side? Okay.
And why?
So why would David? Why is David a hard one?
David's a hard one because we don't know if he has elderly parents. Or something like that, or a need, and it doesn't say how long. So
sure.
Just talk to them for 5 minutes,
right.
And just check in to make sure they're okay.
Yeah, okay, good insight.
And she did it. Is that the reason?
Well, I also wonder if he's married, because if you aren't married, you need a primary support.
Mm-hmm. And so where did you put David?
Slightly unhealthy.
Slightly unhealthy, just okay. With that question mark, big question mark.
And we kind of had it slightly healthy, again, with the vagueness of not knowing how long he's spending.
Yeah.
So everyone would agree if he probably spoke to his parents an hour a day, that's probably over into something a little odd, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Even if he's a single guy, probably is a single guy. Because honestly, all the married guys, their wife calls the parents. At least all the ones I've met. Okay, how about Mandy? You said, did anybody not have Mandy over at the extreme of unhealthy?
More in the middle.
Okay. Why is Mandy a tough one? If there could be two different opinions on that one, why is that one kind of sticky?
Receiving a lot of likes, I think, would kind of show she's probably spending a lot of time, and it's something that she really needs for herself.
Yeah. What social need is she getting met there?
Affirmation,
acceptance. Is it possible for her to get that met in a local way? That would be maybe more healthy?
Yeah.
what would that look like? Even if culture's challenging, because that's one of the things, like, different cultures show affirmation different ways, very different ways. But what would be some
eating?
Eating.
In the process of eating, there's a lot of appreciation of affirmation.
Well, I'd be curious from all the students, where did you find your affirmation when you were away, primarily?
I found for me when I was able to carry water with the women, in Ghana they carry water on their head and it's really difficult to balance that, and so when I was able to do it and I didn't spill very much, or when my friend finally, when I first started doing it, they gave me just a little bucket, and when they finally started giving me the same bucket that the other women get to do, I found that that was really affirming.
You got the big girl bucket.
Yeah. So how did the women affirm you as you got bigger and bigger buckets? What was their response towards you?
My friends would always, I'm half black, and so my friends would always joke, oh, you're becoming a real African woman today.
Good. All right, how about Rick? Did most of you have Rick over at the...
You know, so what she was, she told the value of theirs.
Unhealthy.
Yeah, but what do you want to say?
You know, one thing I was just going to say about the Ghana women saying, you're becoming a real... What sometimes is we're looking for affirmation in the areas that make us happy, and this made them happy. And it was a value, you were crossing over that border, and you were finding out what they valued, and so that's a hard one for missionaries oftentimes, because we're used to looking for the affirmation of things that we enjoy, and this is obviously, do you enjoy carrying water in your head here in the United States?
No.
Okay.
It's
heavy. Yeah. And so that's a stretching point in our lives. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We did have one friend, though, that his mother said the greatest compliment about his wife was, she's like a real horse. It was like this Minnesota farm woman. Mm-hmm. She could really carry a lot of things, you know. And it's like, so sometimes here in the U.S., that's a valued thing, too.
Okay. We just moved here when we heard that, and Mark looked at me and went, no. Not going
there. All right, let's talk about Rick. Most of you had him over on kind of the unhealthy side of things. Anybody have him not on the unhealthy side?
Only if he's good enough to be a tent maker through it.
He can do gaming as an occupation with his fantasy football. So, what?
It might not be fantasy football, it might be fantasy soccer or something else.
So what's a way that he can get his needs met locally on that one? There might be two things going on here with this.
Well, maybe a sports ministry or you know, World Cup, where we were world people would give a little bit of money to get to a place where there was a TV so they could watch World Cup.
Yep.
You know, be involved in sports in that way, which everybody loved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I had to chuckle with that because when we were in Ireland, I was in a fantasy league, so I can relate to that. But it was with my two sons.
Uh-huh.
But then there was also two people from Northern Ireland that were co-workers with us at Youth for Christ. And I mean, I would have spent more than a half an hour a week on, so it wasn't anywhere near the devotion of it. Right. But it was also a connectedness because you could connect with people that you're working with, but also my sons back home.
Yeah.
So and isn't that true in looking at all of them? It's just a set, it's a measurement, right, of
why
we're doing it. I mean, are all of these things evil? Are any of them evil?
Some of them are just the amount of time is the question. Mm-hmm. Some of them is what need is it meeting that maybe God meant for us to have that need met in a different way. Because some of the needs that we are getting met from people, we really should have them being met from God is the moment that happens as well, too. So it could be a sign of something in your discipleship walk with the Lord as well, if you've got something really extreme going on in your social media usage. Okay, how about the ones that were over on the plus side, the healthy side that you had over on the not too much line? What were some of the ones that you had? Like the farthest one over.
Julie.
And that's the... Oh, okay. Subscribing to the posts of her church, several churches. Other ones that you had over on the far right?
Comments about Julie. We have a kind of medium
Okay.
Between the two.
Good.
Just because it's like, okay, how big are these blogs?
Yep.
And then I can see that, okay, once a month I'm okay with, every week, not sure.
Okay.
I don't know what other people think.
And what would make, why can hearing about what's going on back in the church, why can that be a too much? What makes it a too much?
Well, distracting what she's tying into or trying to tie into the culture.
Sure. Just time invested.
Distracting and trying to keep up with, that's quite a few churches and people.
Yeah.
You keep your feet in both places. It's just really hard to be where you're at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the theme of this whole thing, mm-hmm. what you just said.
If that's happening with your church, what's happening with your family, what's happening, and there's just so many contacts that you can have back here, that if there aren't, it's just difficult to do ministry if you have your feet in both places.
And that's kind of like Sheila, too, having a Bible study with her people back home.
Yeah.
If it's once a month and they're kind of like hearing stuff from you, they can pray in like a support group. It doesn't sound like that. It's just a weekly Bible study, and then you're not really connected with the people where you're at. You know, so
we had Sheila the exact same, but just slightly unhealthy. So.
Yeah.
And it could depend on Sheila, you know, has she been there for 2 months or has she been there for 4 years? You know, that's a different question too, right?
Whether or not she's in an unreached place.
Yep.
There are no other Christians around her.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That might be a lifeline.
That might be her only Bible study that she mm-hmm. needed to, yeah.
Right.
A lot of these need more information.
Yeah. And that's what we want you to develop, that skill to ask those questions. What information additionally would be needed to assess what's going on with a person, if it's healthy or not?
I think it's important to Sheila how it says that it's 1 hour. So it's not saying, oh, she just does it every week. It's 1 hour. So it's okay.
Yep.
We're cutting out of time. So it's not, oh, it can go on for two or 3 hours or 1 hour of my time.
And that is a principle that almost everybody's saying about general social media usage. That if it's something that you really enjoy, it energizes you, it helps you for a certain amount of time, and then it starts not helping you. The happiness that you gain through your social media peaks, and then it starts to actually go the opposite direction. You start
detrimental.
Being afraid of missing out, you start envying other people, all these things that it starts to be. But at the beginning, it can be very energizing and good and healthy. So almost all of these, the time question, you're going to want to throw into the mix.
So you start unfriending or unfollowing some people that bring you down.
Just take
it down.
Things, or everything you say they jump at, or they're completely opposite perspective and they just bring you down. Just, I don't need that negativity. And so you...
Uh-huh.
We talked with this one missionary, and she learned, and this is a part of, because the next big question for us, for you guys, is how do we talk to a person? If you're in that mode and you see what's going on, especially if you are a church member that supports your missionaries and you're constantly wanting to encourage and support them, how do you, if you see that they're on Facebook every single day posting and interacting with everybody, you're like, how many hours? How do you come to them and encourage them to really assess their own social media use? And that's a kind of a hot spot. But I was, so think about that question. How do you do that? And if you have, share with us how you counseled a person through that, assessing what they were using their social media for. I was talking to a missionary, and she learned, because a number of people came around her and asked her questions in this area, that she learned that she was getting from all her supporting churches, and especially two that she's very involved in, her home church and another church, her husband's church, she was very involved with them when she was on home assignment again. And so she says, when I go back to Cambodia, I have to not look at what they're doing for the first 4 months or so to break myself. And we've all heard of social media, like, what do we call them? Fasts, or, yeah. And she says, I have to do that because I assess myself by, I like to see what's going on there so I could pray for them and I can be happy and joyful for what's going on, the growth that's going on. But when she first gets there, she's just envious and angry that she's missing out.
And so she learned that she needed that break, and then she came back into it and just could pray for them and really be joyful about it.
In a healthy way at that point. Yeah. Once she kind of got it back into its right place.
So other tips like that, advice or counsel that you've had with people, concerns you have to talking to people about this?
Mm-hmm. Security is one issue, depending on where you are in the world. To what extent do you reveal names and places and those sorts of things? And also, I don't know how well it does with team building, and if you're on a team and you're always complaining about somebody or some issue. I mean, it may not be, you know, very, very conducive to working with a team.
No, and building those relationships.
Yeah. If you're interested in the whole topic of security, there's actually a whole workshop next time, next hour of the workshops, that talks about security, and then information security is a part of that. And so absolutely, without question, all of these things have to be thought of in terms of that. It's not really the main thing we're talking about here in this workshop, but it has to be overlaid on all of these, that question of security. But a question that is related to how does it affect ministry is, we sometimes become emboldened to talk about things in ways that we wouldn't normally talk about them face to face. We talk about them in social media. And that actually could affect ministry too, because the people that you're talking about might actually have access to be aware of it too, and you're kind of not careful. So it's kind of like speaking with a loud voice at a conference. You always want to then think about what you're talking about if you're speaking with a loud voice, because you don't know who might be listening in. So that is another piece of how it might affect ministry. If you're venting, like you said, if you're kind of, as a team, using this as your place to vent or something, that might not be healthy in the long run for the ministry itself. So like a group me or something, you know, maybe a ministry team's using group me to share all the news and information they need for their team, but then they might get a little emboldened in there to say things they wouldn't say if they were sitting around in the living room at a team meeting. So you know, just kind of gauge that. Okay, so
others that have given advice, counsel, or concerns in talking with people. People get really defensive in this area. It's really hard. Have any of you had those conversations with anyone? Hard?
Yeah, I mean, as a team leader, my wife and I have led, you know, teams with about 30 people and stuff, and so we have to do that constantly, kind of accountability and checking up. So I would just say there needs to be a lot of grace when you have those conversations. Just like we talked about in this room, there can be a lot of motivations. And the assumption should be that our brothers and sisters' motivations are to honor the Lord. It's not that we're going into this conversation because we think you're trying to dishonor him, or you're trying to be distracted. And sometimes those things just happen in our lives, and we ourselves don't even realize. So I think just going into those conversations with a lot of grace, and questions are a great way. How are you doing with balancing this? Mm-hmm. Because I know when, you know, at different times we have been, you know, pulled in different ways. And how are you feeling about that balance? What do you think is appropriate? And it might be different for everybody on the field, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Like you said, someone might be doing, I've seen people who do fantasy leagues, and it's a network of workers within their organization, and it's how they kind of stay in touch with each other, and okay.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen people who might have a parent that they need to connect with every day because they are elderly and they have needs, and that's their responsibility. And they're still out serving the needs of the gospel. That should be commended, and that's wonderful. So, I mean, taking the time to have those conversations, understand the motives, do it with grace. But I think just by having that conversation, whether it's as a church or someone on the field, I think you're helping that person raise the awareness to where they are. If they haven't kind of taken stock of that, they're kind of thinking, oh, how much time am I spending? And they might start doing that. So.
These are very important conversations to have. And I will just say there's this generational breakdown, because when Mark and I were on the field, for instance, you know, email had not even started. There was natural boundaries. It was just too expensive to call home. So none of our team leaders would ever think to say, are you spending too much time talking to your parents? No, because we can't afford it. Or are you
there wasn't any smartphones. There wasn't, so we didn't have those conversations. So think about some of the supervisors out there have never experienced it, that themselves, so they don't even think to talk about that social media attention grab.
So then our next slide says this actually isn't a new problem.
Mm-hmm.
So before, you know, Facebook or FaceTime, this was already was a problem. It just had a little bit different face. So anybody have any ideas of missionaries not connecting to their local place because they're choosing something else instead? Has that been a problem back in the 50s, 40s, 30s, 60s, 90s?
Staying in the expat community.
Yeah. Yep, staying in the expat bubble has been Hudson Taylor's time. Yep. What else?
Even just like staying in your house, just not connecting at all with the culture.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, we moved over to Moscow, and the first month we had two single gals living with us, and one jumped into the culture. The other one kept saying to us, I'm reading a good book. So for the first month, she sat in our apartment reading, or her apartment too, reading her books. That was like, whoa, okay, maybe this is a little culture shock here. Yeah.
Heard about a lady up in Alaska in a small village, or, yeah, that... she was known as the lady that had rented every single movie in the movie store in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. So it's always been around, just not as so easily accessible. And so the temptation has gotten even greater.
It's just a new face to a situation that's been around all along.
So nothing new under the sun?
Nothing new under the sun.
Okay, so we'll skip that one.
No, we're skipping that one, because that one became one of those.
This became one of the ones.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's just talk. Let's just use this as a transition into your role. So if you're the person here on this side of the ocean, from the person that's out serving cross-culturally, is there a way that your presence and your expectations can be unhealthy or healthy? So where do you think would be the line of from what you're providing as a caring person in the area of social media pushes it over into unhealthy? Okay, so any ideas on that? Is my question at all clear? It's not just the missionary's problem, it might be your problem as the person living in the US. So.
Missing expectations.
Okay, yeah.
So like if you're in a conversation with somebody and say, oh, did you see when?
Yeah.
Like expecting that they have been on social media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or even just, you know, if you never got back to me on that messenger post or whatever, and you're hurting my feelings or something like that, and it could be, you know, I've moved to a place where I need to spend more time having a relationship with local people.
This was not an issue years ago, but now with just the availability of obviously Zoom and emails and just WhatsApp and everything else, are there churches expecting more of our missionaries? Or are we wanting them to expect more of us?
Well, it kind of depends on our, I've heard missionaries that would have, you know, like 20 different supporting churches and, you know, 100 individual people, and the communication for that is outrageous, you know, as opposed to the missionary that's sent by one church.
Yeah.
And that one, so then your communication time is just drastically reduced.
Right.
And then you can put out a thank you to my all other supporters and that the type of communication quarterly or whatever, and so that you don't want to take too much of their time away from what they're there for. So I think moving towards fewer churches, giving a bigger portion is better than spreading.
Most definitely. Most definitely. We don't always have control of that. I think the churches, they don't want to use up too much of our time, but I wish they would ask me sometime. You know, they say, oh, we don't contact you because we think you're busy. And yet I want those churches to contact us. I mean, during COVID, it was an unusual time, but we did have one church say, you guys can go Zoom with us So we Zoomed with our adult Sunday school class that we had started when we were newlyweds together, and every week we were with them. A few other churches then contacted us, and for a while on Sundays, we were on Zoom about 6 hours, because they were like, you could watch our services and then meet with us afterwards, because we have a prayer time afterwards. So we were like from, I don't know, 7 in the morning to, you know, at the evening meeting with our various churches. And it was an unusual time, but a number of them said, you can continue on. And we're like, okay, we're pretty tired now after meeting with all of them. But it was a great opportunity. But it was just, we had that conversation with them.
And actually, it was a time when it met a need for us, when we were not going to small group at our own church, so then we were able to go to this other small group. It was very encouraging. Mm-hmm. But it was for a season and a time, for a particular reason.
And some of these things are for seasons. You know, we've kind of hinted to that, those missionaries that first get there versus the missionaries that have been there.
So we just had a couple suggestions. Just think, you know, about ways that you might be contributing to the problem, and just especially putting on expectations. When it's about you rather than about them, then it might be you're going into the realm of, you know, you're part of the problem rather than them. If it's about the missionary and their needs and their desires, and it really is serving them, then it's probably going to be on the better side of being healthy, because a lot of times it's the pressure coming from this side. You can't change the missionary, probably it's not your job, unless you're a member care person and you are counseling them and helping them get more healthy as part of your job description. But you can be a friend and encourager, but you can change yourself. So just make sure that you're not part of the problem. And then just an example, like Facebook, you know, maybe you follow them, but you don't expect them in any way to follow you. So you keep it, you know, kind of non-symmetrical, and that's okay, because they're the one being served and you're the one serving, and that's totally okay. So don't think it always has to be symmetrical. Okay, we're just going to close here by just telling you a tiny bit about us, because we didn't introduce ourselves at the beginning, because we were Pastor Mark and Julie, the strange missionary. So we're Mark and Julie Morgenstern. We live here in Apple Valley in the Twin Cities, and I used to be the training director at Reach Global, the Evangelical Free Church mission, for about 9 years. And now we spun off some of our distance learning ministry that was inside of Reach Global. We were starting to serve a broader and broader audience, not just Reach Global missionaries. So now we spun off a ministry, it's called Grow to Serve. And what we do is we help mission organizations figure out how to use technology to bring their missionaries together in learning communities, even though they're spread out all over the world. So we're imposing another kind of social media on missionaries by saying, join these learning groups. So even we have to be sure and say, is it replacing something they could be doing there? But if they're learning about culture shock, or they're learning about spiritual warfare, or they're learning about parenting third culture kids, you know, a lot of times there's a lot of power in being in a group with other people you can learn together with. So that's what we do.
So we built, during the 9 years he was the trainer, I was the pre-field director, and so twice a year we would have pre-field training. And so we learned a lot during that time. We started doing hybrid, online, as well as live all together. But we started to come to the conclusion that we really front load a lot on missionaries, and then don't do continuing education. And so that became our passion, that we feel like people learn better in community, in context, when they're already on the field. And then it's a convenience, where it's delivered to them in their living room, but we do it in a way that they continue on in their ministry, and they just check in a little every day for maybe a 1 week or a 2 week or a 4 week course with other missionaries around the world to encourage one another. The number one thing that we hear from people after any course is not so much that they learned anything new. Yes, they say, now I can apply some of these things I learned pre-field, but now that I'm on the field and in relationship, I can apply it. But really, the number one thing is they come away from the courses saying, I'm not alone. You mean what I've been feeling is very universal to other missionaries around the world. So we were in Russia and Ukraine as church planners, and then back here.
All right. So thank you very much for joining us.
Lunch? Are you going to say about
lunch? Just a reminder, we say all the time, to keep working on your evaluation sheets.
Oh, yes.
Don't leave it all to the end. Just as we go along, you'll see there's for each of the workshops and also for each of the plenaries, we really appreciate it. We do read every one of them. They're all put together by our secretary and printed out, and we go through the pages. Usually there's 8-10 pages, but it's good. So please do that. Have a great meal.
Yep. And so it's down to the second floor, down one floor. When you come out of this staircase, you're just going to kind of bear to the left.
Down the ramp.
Right, yeah. Down the ramp. That's
so
the easy way.
Down the
follow down the ramp once you get down these stairs. Thank you. I'm just here.